We were the first business units to be set up way back in January 2003, when we really verticalized into industry segments. Well, you know, there's a small typo there. We closed the last year with 574 million on the retail CPG and logistics. We grew at a compounded rate of about 47%. Close to about 5,500 associates are there. We are very proud to be associated with 69 of our clients, and some of them are who's who in the retail industry. We serve across primarily all the segments in the retail vertical, be it apparel, footwear, drug, discount retailing, you know, specialty distributions and whatnot. Very similarly in the CPG as well, in terms of food, food and beverage, health and beauty care and whatnot. Over the last few years, we have seen that some of the revenues that streams that are coming our way are primarily in terms of some of the large outsourcing deals, as well as some of the transformational programs that we have been engaged in quite a few of our clients, some of those case studies that we will talk about during the course of our discussion today. This gives you a snapshot across the entire value chain that today that we are working in. If you look at, we are pretty much engaged from the product development across the merchandise management, supply chain, warehouse, logistics and whatnot. And this slide shows you a snapshot of some of our strategic projects and programs that we have engaged with some of our existing customers today. Now, as you all know, you know, the retail and the CPG is kind of going through difficult times, increased fuel costs, commodity prices and etc. So it has had its toll on some of our customer base as well as on the retail and the CPG as a group. But across the board, some of the key trends that we are picking are the signs that we are really looking at from the industry point of view is, one is that some of our customers and primarily the retailers are looking at investing heavily into their online channel. If you look at traditionally, the brick and mortar is growing anywhere between 3 to 4% or 5%, but the online retailing is growing anywhere between 18 to 20%. So, and consumers are also a lot more accustomed to going through the multiple levels, multi-channel, so be it in the sense of shopping in the brick and mortar or a catalog or in terms of an online online shopping. So in a way that they are also getting more comfortable. So what we have done looking at this is we have a multi-channel commerce practice that got incubated about a couple of years back within the retail group. We have industry benchmarks in terms of the best processes that we do, and we have currently executed at least 3 to 4 such large engagements, and 3 or 4 currently are underway. The other trend that we really pick up is retail and CPG companies, they are eager to look at the shopper's insight and trying to understand, basically do a lot more analysis, insights into the shopping trends, insight into what the consumers need and what not and etc. Towards that, just like Chris mentioned today morning, that we just recently launched the Shopping Tip 360, a very unique solution we feel, which doesn't exist today with anywhere in the market, does bring in this kind of a real-world interaction between retail, the CPG, as well as the shoppers to make sure that the shopping trip is as well very insightful. We're going to talk a little bit more during the course of the discussion today. The other part that we are really looking at in terms of the trends are primarily that the companies are struggling with managing their master data over the last 2 to 3 years. So as well as a strong enough business intelligence, they have their operational, tactical and whatnot data stores today available, but the ability to mine the data and make any sense on the consumer pattern behaviors, demographics and whatnot has been a challenge. Towards that, you know, we have a master data management, perhaps one of the most successful practices today. We've gone through multiple such implementations as well as gone through multiple transformations in the last 2 years. In terms of laying out the roadmap, in terms of what it really means for a consumer or a retailer to ensure that, you know, in developing a very robust foundation data to enable them to mine the data well. The other key trend that we look at primarily here is, one is retailers are focusing on bringing technology and innovation into the stores area. Primarily, one is to look at improving the store level efficiencies, the labor productivity improvement, as well as introduction of new ways of attracting the customers, giving them the product information and whatnot. Towards this, we have established a center of excellency for point of sale, which would do the most of the system implementations in terms of management, upgrades. So we have currently completed quite a few implementations, and some of one of the transformation stories that we're going to talk about is how a mobility technology solution could enhance the labor productivity in one of the large international retailers that we were engaged in the transformation process. The other trend is CPG companies want to make their trade promotions and sales effectiveness spend more efficient. See, the sales and marketing dollars that the CPG folks spend, it is anywhere about, I think approximately about 18% or so, is normally in collaboration with the retailer. So what happens is they figure out a new product or a brand that they're going to launch, collaborate with them and say that this is what the promotions that we're going to give. Beyond that, none of the CPG, in Indian terms we call them as FMCG, has any visibility into the effectiveness of any one of these trade promotions. So in a way that things stops there. Beyond that, in terms of whether do we need to continue the same amount of investment in a particular brand, how effective was this promotion in terms of upliftment of that particular brand or a particular product that they introduced in the market, today the CPG companies doesn't have any particular visibility on this. Towards this, what we've done is we've created a new category analytics framework and a solution. What this does is essentially takes out the syndicated data that comes from AC Nielsen, IRI, and etc., looks at the data that is there internally in terms of their planning, in terms of their shipment data and whatnot, and create an information repository. So using this information repository, there are a few statistical models that we have done, some of the benchmarkings that we have done, the reports that we have provided, which the CPG companies could do a much thorough analysis in terms of really measuring the effectiveness of how the sales or a trade promotions dollars that they really spent has been very effective in trying to push this particular brand. So this we feel is a very unique value proposition in front of the CPG companies and which is not there in the market today. Now, picking up that, as I said earlier, that some of the increase in our revenues that we are seeing is on some of the transformation things, and I thought that I'll discuss few case studies out here on how some of the transformation programs we were involved in, what impact it had on the customer. One was on an e-commerce implementation, as well as on a global information management and how the store business process we were effectively able to bring in with a leading international retailer. Now here is a case study on an e-commerce transformation case. A customer for a broadline retailer, he had multiple e-commerce sites which were on different platforms, primarily all on the legacy technologies. They did not have one uniform user experience, and basically this platform was so a legacy that none of the new innovations on the online e-commerce could not have been implemented on this. So, and there was a risk of one of the sites that was managed by a third party vendor would go out of business as well. So this was the client situation when we really got in. The customer had chosen a platform on the way they want to implement the e-commerce thing. So when we got in, we were a primary partner trying to drive the whole program end-to-end, from the whole program management to the business process rationalization across these three different websites that they were currently working with. And then what we did was we took the same platform but created multiple storefronts, because we acknowledged that there are uniqueness in the why there were multiple of such storefronts that were available for this particular retailer. We did the gap analysis, rationalized the business processes across the board, so brought in industry best practices to make sure that the processes are updated as well. And we made sure that even though the broad-based same platform was rolled out across the board, but ensured that the right customizations are done to make sure that the uniqueness is maintained across multiple storefronts that we developed. So in a way, the challenges we addressed were uniform processes, uniform user experiences across the board. But in this very specific case, normally an implementation of this nature takes anywhere between 26 months to about 36 months, but we were able to do it in about 16% months time. So hence, reduce this whole time to market as well. So some of the benefits that the customer is seeing, 20% increase in the online revenue, which is enhanced user experience as well, and reduction in the operation cost because we rationalize the websites, rationalize the processes, reduce the transaction costs as well. The second case study is about a global information management for a leading CPG company. This leading CPG company had grown through multiple acquisitions through multiple different countries and whatnot. They had a legacy of different processes having acquired multiple different clients. And what had happened along with that is it was purely an Excel-driven decision-based system. And primarily all the data that we were getting was not really accurate. It was coming from multiple different data sources. So a problem statement for us was to really define one enterprise performance workbench that would really look at strategic, operational, as well as tactical decision points, as well as look at the different metrics, look at the different scorecards and whatnot. So we went about creating a very quick prototype with a very flexible SOA based architecture, so that each because this had to continue to go across all the different various roles in the organization. So this flexible architecture would enable a person to really subscribe to a particular set of information, and the data was so stored at a very atomic level that any kind of data would have been able to be pulled by some of these people and create their own dashboard and metrics and whatnot in a very quick time. So we've just finished the prototype of this, of the 6 months, and it's been extremely successful. The processes they liked, the metrics definition is they have liked, and we are looking at really 3 to 6 years roadmap in terms of really rolling out this whole decision support system across the organization. The last transformation case study I thought I would talk about is on a leading international retailer. As I said, that one of the things that is happening is to try and improve the labor productivity within the stores. So the situation was they had some existing mobile infrastructure but not completely leveraged. See, in any retailer, you know, about I think 16 to 18% of the money they spend in terms of labor, and about 15 to 18% of the time the store associates spend more time in the back office rather than really being on the storefront in terms of really addressing the customer's queries and whatnot. So the proposition here was to ensure that we have these associates spend more time in front of the customer and have less time spent in terms of in the back office work. So what we did was we looked at this whole mobile solution on a PDA based, and then architected on a smart client principles so that most of the operations like, you know, marking down, price changes, relabeling, trying to find out if there are any product which is not on the shelf that needs to be reordered and etc. could be done on a wireless PDA while they're really working around in the shop floor rather than really having had to go to the back office. So this is in a kind of, you know, enterprise given on a small PDA for the store associates to really work through. So this technology innovation in the mobility is kind of, you know, helped them actually save up to 12 to 15 million per annum on a store basis because of the operational efficiencies that we got. And obviously there are other things like crunching the store opening times and etc. But this was a complex technology piece that we were able to incorporate which was extended back into some of their warehouse management systems as well in later on. See, we continue to innovate, invest in terms of our domain, industry capabilities, solutions and whatnot. So through the years, what we've done, I think we have got endorsements from some of our clients as well as we got endorsements from industry analysts as well in terms of some of the areas where we are investing as well as where we are innovating. Very recently, we won the Sears Partners in Program Award. This award we won for 2 years in a row. This award is given to less than 1% of the 40,000 suppliers the Sears Kmart really work with. And it's an extremely privileged award. And we were the only IT vendor who got awarded this particular Partners in Progress. And in the last 6 to 8 months or 10 months, some of the cool technologies that the AMR talked about, which are needed for the consumer product area, were two of them were primarily the solutions and innovations that we were working at Infosys. One of them, the first one, was purely looking at unstructured data searches. And the second one was the new product implementations using the SAP as well as looking at the category analytics piece. The last one was we were ranked the number two among the strategic consulting partners in sales and operations projects. This was an independent survey conducted by AMR, including 50 of our customers. And then we were ranked second in terms of doing the strategic consulting. We have a lot of, we were perhaps the only offshore player who was ranked in the RIS leaderboard survey, looking at the length, the breadth, and the quality of services that we were provided in terms of having the most customer satisfaction in the retail industry. We continue to give thought leadership and be participating in a lot of activities that happen at the industry level, industry journals and whatnot, and we continue to ensure that we are there in terms of any new solutions and any new innovations that we really do. See, this is with the group that is formed about 4 or 5 years. What we've done over the years is we've looked at what are the industry trends that are emerging, what are the certain problems that our customers are really facing, and try and innovate into some of the solutions. One of them was this multi-channel that we were able to pick this trend up and really create a practice which would Similarly to the mass data management is another example. But here is another innovation that I think we believe is very unique that we have to offer. This is the Shopping Trip 360 that we recently launched in the last 3 weeks back, or early part of August. What this does is essentially it creates a real world awareness between a retailer, a brick and mortar, a CPG manufacturing company, as well as a shopper, to ensure that the shopping experience is real and as well as is nice and insightful, and so as to maximize the sales for the retailer as well as CPG. Now, this is kind of an information ecosystem that these three parties would share to ensure that, you know, we have a much better sales uptake within the retailer and the CPG. Now, how does this work? Essentially, is if you look at an online retailer versus a brick and mortar retailer, typically for both of them, they would know what was purchased and who purchased. But in some cases where we have retailers who have a lot of loyalty program, in some of them they would also know a little bit more of the demographics of the customer and how they bought and what and etc. But the important element that is missing from a brick and mortar store is how did the shopper intent of buying got translated into really what he bought. That is something which is missing in a brick and mortar store. If you look at an online environment which is extremely interactive, so you go and pick a particular product, you can do a comparison of the like products across the websites, you could do a product comparison, you could do the customer reviews and etc., through which you would ultimately make a decision that I need to buy a product A or B. Now this trail of clicks online retailer does have. But if you look at a brick and mortar, when a person walks in and then goes along the aisles in the retail, he has an intent to buy, but none of this information today is available with the brick and mortar retailer. So the online retailer could effectively use this path of migration and how this intent really started to make sure that he maximizes on his merchandising, he maximizes on his assortment, he could really look at his pricing and promotion, which today is not available for a brick and mortar retailer. So this solution very specifically tried to address some of this, bringing in this real world kind of a scenario for a brick and mortar retailer as well. What it does is it has a meshed network, small sensors that are sitting in the stores. As and when the shopper really walks through, as you say that, knowing the shopping trip. So basically this would mean that you would know the concentrations of the shoppers via heat maps, try and figure out where is the concentrations of my shopper within the store. So this would enable multiple things. One, to make sure that if there are too many shoppers, they could really look at increasing more checkout lines. Operational efficiencies, you could look at these trends and ensure that, you know, your heating, lighting or whatnot can also be trended depending upon where the concentrations of the people are. Thirdly, if you look at purely from the CPG manufacturing folks, they would know that these are the areas where the shoppers' concentration are, to ensure that they promote the products which are to be in the shelves where these particular shoppers are working, so that, you know, the brand does get sold and the trade promotions and etc. that they are giving is really, there is an uptake in some of these things, right? That is knowing the shopping. The second is aiding. What we call, the first one is the heat map through which we really do this. The second part is a smart shelf that we call, which is what helps the retailer to find out the velocity at which my items are selling. So they would know that high items which are going, in case if there are stock outs that are happening, and how some of this data does get back fed into their whole planogramming, their replenishment and whatnot, to make sure that there is effective merchandising that happens within the store to ensure that, you know, there are no stock outs that are happening as well. So in a sense, you know, you would also be in a position that there are a shopper comes in, he has an intent to buy, but he doesn't have the product which is there. But this smart shelf, just with the mobile and the wireless technology, will enable the retailers to ensure that, you know, that the stocks are there as well. The third part is influencing a shopper. Basically, if you are a shopper walking in through the aisles and you have an intent of buying something, and it could be a small application based on shopper's intent that he would download on his mobile cell phone, and he walks through, and then you're trying to influence with him in a sense that he would want to buy a particular product, but you would give him an option of what are the like products which are available of a similar nature, what are all the promotions that are going on a very similar products in that particular range, what are the uptake and upsell and downsells that you could do with respect to. So you are making this whole shopping trip extremely interactive with the shopper and helping him influence not only by that, but also make sure that he also does buy into the other products as well. So in a way, you are trying to influence the shopper behavior as well when you really look at it. So ultimately, we are really looking at shaping this whole shopping experience in a way that if a customer really decides that he has a shopping list, he downloads on into his mobile, walks through the aisles of the store, he has a recipe that he has downloaded, now we aid them, pick the items that he needs for this particular recipe that he's really taken. And similarly, you can online give them coupons, online give them promotions and whatnot. So in a sense, if you look at, right, you are really making this whole shopping trip, right, very insightful for all the parties here, and it helps in a way for a retailer to make sure that his stocks are there, and he is making sure that he's making the investment in terms of buying the right thing, bringing the right assortment. The CPG brands do have insights into what are the products that are going and how effective their whole trade promotions are and what they need to do differently. As a shopper, you are benefited in understanding how to go about shopping and whatnot. So in a nutshell, we feel that this provides a very unique real world experience like what an online retailer would have in a brick and mortar store experience. And this, we believe that is not, it doesn't exist, this kind of a solution today doesn't exist in the market. And this is something that we've recently launched. We've had some interest from some of our existing retailers wanting to do pilots in some of their stores, which we have really started on this pilot journey very recently. And with that, you know, I conclude my presentation.
See how they capture offline efficiency the way you do online. See, in online, you, like you said, there are a series of trials of transaction, so you can capture the behavior. In an offline, you can do to some extent, so you won't be able to know what price this guy wanted to buy. Finally, why did he buy this? And is it the price issue, quality, availability? Why did he buy it all? And so it's not as effective as an online tool.
I mean, I agree to an extent that some of those, but today there is nothing that is available for a brick and mortar. If you notice, right, I mean, the average, basically the data says that a shopper gets in into, consumer gets in 20 minutes, nobody would know that he does existed in the store at all. Till somebody really comes out when they have to really check out. So you're right in a sense that he might not know, but in a way by this influencing, by giving this promotional and coupons and whatnot, there is a way we could track what are the other products that he was really looking at. But may not be that he's compared one website with another and trying to really look at the price point on what he bought. But there is a good sense of what products that he was looking at, because when he walks through in the front of a smart shelf where we have, that heat map would clearly tell you that what are the times that he spent in front of which all competitive product lines that are there. And eventually, what did he buy? So when you really map this whole heat map data along with the point of sale data that comes out, so you could perhaps construe saying that this is what really made him buy some of those things. May not be extremely direct like what you said in an online.
So how do you price this? Licensing?
It's a managed services. So we're going to go by a subscription model. The whole infrastructure, the technology, everything is owned by us. We pretty much go there because one of the factors is, would my shop change, the store format change, do I need to do investments in terms of whatnot? Some of the initial adoption in things that comes from our customers. So what we do is we pretty much lay out the whole hardware, the whole technology, because we own the IP on a lot of these things, and we really go by the subscription model. That's what we're really thinking at this time.
What's our sense of how much incremental push on the top line will be help the retailer get?
In terms of the retailer gets?
Yes.
See, actually it is really at a very initial stages where we are really running 4 or 5 pilots with some of our customers. I think, you know, once we go through about 5 to 10 stores in terms of how this really comes, I think maybe we'll be in a much better position to really say how it would really impact. impact. But you know, there is a lot of excitement though that we are hearing in the market wanting to adopt this thing. So I will not be able to quantify the percentage increase in the top line.
This is more on the front end side. Do you have a integrated back end to look at data from the loyalty programs plus the behavior?
Yeah, right. Yeah. See, if you look at the way this whole thing is structured, is each one of these, this no aid, influence and shape, is kind of a platform or a framework on which this whole thing. So you could adopt and plug and play any one of the existing applications on top of these things to really mine the data that you need. So ultimately the data that comes out of this would definitely be looked at along with the loyalty to make any sense out of it. So this is an application that can be plugged into any one of your existing applications. That's it. Correct. Finally pulls into the MI.
Yeah.